We've covered the most affordable LGBTQ-friendly city in each and every state.
But before further parsing the data, we have some thoughts and opinions.
Especially on some thoughts and opinions on the series. You're listening to Queer Money episode 487, and today we're sharing the biggest takeaways and surprises from the most affordable LGBTQ plus friendly cities series that we've done. Now, on with the show.
Capital One Auto Navigator does more than just auto financing. We're here to help you find a car you love, too. Shop millions of cars from thousands of dealers nationwide. Research your favorite makes and models. Explore dealers near you and more. All on Auto Navigator.
Okay, we've wrapped up covering all 50 states in the most affordable LGBTQ plus friendly cities series. Now what David and I are going to do is sort of dive into the data a little bit more to see if we can bucket this into some more useful information, such as small towns and large towns and whatnot. We're also going to find see if we can't find the most affordable LGBTQ plus friendly city for people with dogs.
Because who doesn't love their dogs?
Who doesn't love their dogs?
Right.
I can't do that. And for couples, for singles, all that kind of stuff, so we can maybe make it a little bit more useful than what the data has already been so far. So look forward to that coming soon. And I think we shared in a previous episode, we are in discussions with some organizations to see if we can't take this on a global level. There are some organizations that might have access to data that might allow us to do that. So we're trying to research that now to see if it's possible, because many of you have said, can we do this on a global level? The answer right now is we don't know. Well, we're looking into it because you've asked.
All right. So let's talk about this series. Some of our surprises, some of our takeaways, some of our findings, some of our the comments.
We're going to share some comments here shortly.
Exactly. I think that probably one of the biggest surprises to me in actually taking the time to look at each and every single state, I am reminded that, one, there are queer people living in every single state in this country, whether it's a red state or a blue state. There are queer people who are finding ways to live happy, enjoyable, fulfilling lives in every single state in this country. And there are people who are putting in work, really hard work, to try to prevent or limit how red some states are getting. And I think it's important to remember that literally there are millions of LGBT people living in red states, and we can't just, as some people like to say, call them flyover states or dismiss them, because these are our brothers and sisters, our queer family. These are people that in some ways are supporting what we do in blue states, and are doing a lot more work than many people in blue states when it comes to upholding the values and the rights of our community.
Yeah, that was quite surprising to me too. And I think it's, you know, I think we as a community do a disservice, but I think media does a big disservice too. Movies, television in particular. It's like, even for straight people, like everything's about people in New York and LA. Or London, you know, it's just, there are so many countries or cities across the country that have some great, from our analysis, have some great numbers, some great weather, great lifestyle, that they just don't write stories about other locations. It's like, I guess it's because that's where the studios are typically, and all the cameras and all the actors and actresses are there. And so it's just easier to base every story in those two cities. But that does a huge disservice to the rest of the country, because there's a lot of interesting landscapes out there, cities and towns out there, cultures out there that are just getting completely ignored because they're not in New York City.
Yeah. And you know what I do think is interesting is it's actually sometimes the straight media, the non-LGBT media that is highlighting what is going on with LGBT folks in the non-gay or LGBTQ meccas. I think about Hulu just put out that series Where We Live, all about queer people who live in the Midwest and how they're living there, why they chose to live there, why they've chosen to stay there, and what their life and lifestyle is like living in some of those places. And I think it's important for us to be aware of those, you know, where our queer family is that?
Yeah.
For those of us who have the privilege and the position to be able to support those people who are working really hard to try to keep states as equal as possible.
So specifically, there are some red states that have hundreds on the Human Rights Campaign's Municipal Equality Index, and some blue states that don't have a single city with that.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised. I was surprised at how many red states have a city with a 100. And just for those of you who have not watched the first video in the series or heard us talk about this throughout the series, one of the key indicators that we used for whether or not a city was LGBTQ friendly is the Municipal Equality Index that HRC does. That really is an indication as to how strong the LGBT community and the allies that support the LGBT community are in that city, because without those individuals, none of these laws or ordinance would even come close to being put on the books if it wasn't for people who are really trying to make these cities a welcoming place for LGBTQ folks. So for example, everybody loves to bash on Florida right now, and rightly so. I think one of the important things is John and I are not saying that that red states and these cities with 100s or 90s or 80s are bastions of liberal freedom where every LGBTQ person is going to be safe. The reality is that there are some LGBTQ people who do not feel safe in New York City or Los Angeles or San Francisco. So it really depends. It's all 100% subjective and personal. We're trying to grab big buckets of information that we're able to. And that's what surprised me is states like Florida, 8 cities that got a 100, Ohio, 6 cities that got a 100, Iowa, 3 cities that got a 100, Texas, 3 cities that got a 100. So there are lots and lots of cities in red states that are getting 100s, and there are lots and lots of cities in blue states that are getting some really bad scores. It's incredible to me that there are some cities in California that didn't even get a 50, yeah, which is really surprising to me. And everybody says California is the only place for the LGBT people to live.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, then likewise, our analysis kind of showed that there are a lot of small towns that are havens for the LGBT community that don't get any attention from anybody at all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. For example, Brookings, South Dakota, another city that got a 100. Erie, Pennsylvania, got a 100. Norman, Oklahoma, which is a suburb inside of Oklahoma City, got a 100. Although one of the things we do typically find with cities in red states that are smaller and cities in blue states that are smaller that get a 100, oftentimes it's led by the fact that that city has a very strong college or university presence, and a lot of the folks in those communities are doing the work to try to get these ordinances in place so that queer kids feel comfortable or somewhat safe going to those cities to go to school.
And to be clear, we did tap into the EqualDex as well as the some data from the Movement Advancement Project to help, you know, support some of our analysis. But I think what was interesting is the comments that we got from people. We got some great comments. I don't think we've had any, there are few topics that we've covered in the now 8+ years that we've been recording this podcast that has elicited so many thoughtful comments from people. I think it's very interesting, but we've got a lot of, I don't know. Let's just say bitches.
This is our chance to be bitches at the bitches, I guess.
It was interesting. I was surprised at the amount of privilege within the community. We talk a lot about privilege, but we also talk about how one of the reoccurring feedbacks that we do get ever since we've started the podcast was that we're not a monolith. All of our stories aren't the same. And we get that. But clearly there's a whole lot of people in the community who are like, we are a monolith when it comes to where we're allowed to live.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you believe that the only place that LGBTQ people feel safe and comfortable is in one of these mega LGBT cities or mega cities, you're sorely mistaken and you need to get out of your fucking bubble.
Yeah, because what was very apparent was some of the comments that we did get that we won't highlight too much, but we did get there's a lot of financial privilege, there's a lot of racial privilege, a lot of gender expression privilege, and a lot of health and well-being privilege, and just simply lifestyle, right? We know so many LGBTQ plus people who are responsible for taking care of various family members, or their parents are like at that age where they don't want to live too far away from them, and just like jaunting off to another city isn't really an option for them. I mean, I guess ultimately it is an option. They're choosing to stay with their family, but there's also that obligation that I think that many people feel that they need to stick around with their family, friends, families, and loved ones that they grew up with.
Right. Yeah. For example, I think about you just rattled off those various types of privilege. I mean, financial privilege, not everyone has. I think that the last time I saw the estimate was that in order for someone to pick up and move, depending on how many belongings they have, it costs anywhere from about $4,000 to $12,000 to move. There are a lot of LGBT folks who simply don't have the financial privilege to say, I'm going to just pick up and move from Nashville to Los Angeles or from Oklahoma City to San Francisco. They just can't afford to do that. And so there's a reason. I also think about racial privilege. There are a lot of queer folks who are people of color who do not feel comfortable. Like I don't think that a lot of people get the fact that not a lot of Black people feel comfortable in places like Portland, Oregon, or Minneapolis, Minnesota. These are cities that get a 100, right? But not a lot of queer Black folks feel safe living in those cities. And so living in a city like Memphis or Little Rock or some of the suburbs of Atlanta that didn't get a 100 in those areas, they may feel more safe living there. And so we need to check our racial privilege when we just say to people, oh, just move somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the market for a new ride, Capital One Auto Navigator makes car buying easier. Search for a car you love and pre-qualify for financing to see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Get started today. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator for details.
So if you have been watching, you know that this is a continuation of our series. If you want to catch that whole series, you can click up here. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, you can click the link in your podcast player. Last week, we did visit the last state, and that was Alabama. YouTube viewers can catch that up here. And if you are listening, click that link in your podcast player.
So we're not sharing podcast love this week because we're going to share some of our favorite comments from throughout the last 50 some weeks or so. They're not all necessarily love, but just some of the great thoughtful comments. And then there's a meaty one that I want to share because I think it really sort of encapsulates the inspiration behind this whole series. So I think what's as interesting as some of the comments are is some of the names.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mr. Butch 308 said, for best city to live in Florida, my vote goes to Hollywood, which is located right smack between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. This beautiful town scores 100 on HRC's scale, has its own LGBTQ plus organization, My Hollywood Pride, and its own pride celebration. And I love that Mr. Butch 308 shared that because that gives us some sort of like real life flip-flops on the ground experience of what a place in Florida or a place in the country that I never would have occurred to me to even consider moving to is Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, when we're the data that we're using, especially when it comes to things like cost of living, housing, rents, all of that is subjective, right? I mean, these are averages or medians that are oftentimes pulled. So you may find, maybe you can find a really cheap place to live in Hollywood, Florida. It just didn't work out that way because of the way that the numbers came out when we used these large median buckets of numbers.
But it's good to know that somebody's like, hey, I live here. Yeah. It works. You might want to check it out.
Yeah.
You don't get that often.
Similarly, from Kevin Calhoun, 9219. Kevin is a super fan of ours all across the social media. So thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it. Kevin said, yay, Cleveland. It's encouraging to hear this. Plus, I'm confident that you two will put Toledo on the LGBTQIA map. Well, we are working on that, Kevin. Thank you. Try to hopefully encourage Toledo to get that 100, move up from a 94 to 100 on HRC's Municipal Equality Index.
Exactly. And then likewise, William Larson, 275, said Ohio is amazing, but so underrated. And I think that's what we're finding too. I mean, obviously, I mean, we were surprised that Ohio got six cities with a 100. But I think there's a lot going on here in Ohio that, and a lot of LGBTQ plus people that we've encountered, and in Michigan as well, that I don't think gets a whole lot of attention on a national level.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to pull this out here. I think that that cities may be just like members of the LGBT community or minority communities, that that there are oftentimes there are systemic issues as to why people discount or overlook various cities, just like communities, minority communities have been discounted and overlooked. And it's actually nice to see that there are people who are really saying, hey, I love this information. For example, I guess it's pronounced Celia's Heart. I don't know exactly, but Celia's Heart said, currently looking to buy, and this info helps. Thank you. Purple heart emoji. So it was really, really nice to hear that. I think that's one of the great things about the feedback is we have been getting a lot of people who have been appreciative of the data or have been very appreciative of very specific data because it did mean something to them.
Exactly. Steph Winen T5038 said, please do Kentucky and please don't say Louisville. It's the most dangerous city of size in Kentucky. Yeah. Do you remember what I should have looked it up. Do you remember what the winner was in?
It was not Louisville. The winner in Kentucky was Covington, and Covington is a suburb of Cincinnati. It's on the southern side of Cincinnati in the state of Kentucky. All right, Joel Miller 6108 says none of the cities on our list particularly exciting, but also not the worst. So I do think that was interesting that they responded that they're not particularly exciting, but they're also not the worst, because that's one of the things that we're finding is that a lot of these are just cities that people don't know a whole lot about, so they don't know anything about them being exciting. And some of the stuff that we found, especially about what is going on in the LGBT community, what the LGBT community is doing in some of these cities, it is really exciting and a lot of fun. For example, in Phoenix, there's the organization that does the camping development work for LGBTQ youth, trying to help build them into leaders, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. And then Fieser replied to Joel Miller 6108, said, unfortunately, affordability, excitement, and year-round perfect summer like weather don't exist in the US. It's usually one out of three. Depends on your definition of excitement. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we found too. I mean, really the impetus for why we started the series was every list that we see is like the most ideal place for LGBTQ people to travel to or to live in. It always seems to be so focused on the bars and restaurants and clubs that are there and little to do with cost of living and other services that the community needs.
Yeah. All right. So Digital Office Home, another respondent on YouTube says, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I need. My partner and I are looking to move because we have been stuck in a very conservative place and we are so ready to move. We are looking for a mild climate, affordable housing, and a good, safe place to retire. Aren't we all, honey? We have been interested in your North Carolina video, which is, it's interesting. I just saw an article that talked about how many blues or Democrats have been moving to North Carolina. Unfortunately, still hasn't flipped the state to being a purple or red or blue state, but we're packing them in there because we're going to do it.
Exactly. Then RRWD9WF said, I guess that's what happens when you don't name yourself.
I don't know. Maybe it means something to them.
The system generated name. I don't know. It's true. Anyway, they said, thank you for calling attention to the fact that all within the LGBTQ plus community are not looking for the same thing. Lesbian couple internationally open and ready to start a new chapter in a smaller town. Low cost of living, slower lifestyle to create a create and focus more time to enjoy life. Currently in Los Angeles and ready to say goodbye.
Bingo. Not everyone wants to live in Los Angeles.
Exactly. And then this one I'm really excited about. Robin Hartzell, 2380, said, I'm age 56, a gay man born and raised in Wichita, came out while a teenager in the early 1980s and thrived. In 1978, my city was one of the first in our nation to pass a gay rights ordinance, but soon after it was targeted for repeal successfully by Anita Bryant's Save the Children campaign, much like it was with abortion protesters in the 90s. It was fanatical outsiders who initially came into our city to make extreme political statements and influence legislation. Jeez, it seems like it's happening now.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
They continue, while we don't have a densely queer populated neighborhood, in addition to Delano, the design district in Old Town mentioned in your video, College Hill and Riverside have long been known for a strong LGBTQ plus presence and visibility, as well as gay friendly heterosexual allies. There are plenty of homes with rainbow flags and automobiles with equality bumper stickers. We're no gay Mecca, of course, but we have a cozy queer community and a city big enough to offer everything you need without high prices and being stuck in traffic for hours. Thanks for the recognition. And that's, to me, that kind of really is exactly why we sort of did this series. I mean, here's this guy's in Wichita, Kansas, and is telling us that since the 80s, he's been out and has thrived. You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of more privileged people than our community would be like, we can't live in Wichita. Kansas.
Yeah, right. And what was interesting is Wichita did show up as one of the top 10 cities when it came to LGBTQ plus friendliness and affordability. When we looked at the second half, the 25 states that we covered in the second half.
So thank you, Robin Hartzell, 2380. That was really well thought out. And I think great information. It's that kind of discussion that started happening on some of the comments and message boards that I just thought was really helpful, because it just gives you a lot of information to absorb that you might not get, you know, from a New York Times or Atlantic article.
Yeah. Last comment here comes from L Love Trunks 16. I wonder what's going on there.
Love Trunks.
Huh? I really appreciate this series. I just stumbled upon it doing research for a safe place for my family to move to, especially trans friendly. I'm keen to check out y'all's videos on Minnesota, Colorado, Illinois, and New York, which I'll be doing ASAP. Well, I will say it is nice that you're that you stumbled upon this. What we have heard is that some cities in New York are really becoming the attractors right now for Rochester specifically, New York. Now, if you don't want to go that far north, it looks like all the cities that you or states that you picked are a little bit on the cold side: Minnesota, Colorado, Illinois, and New York. So
maybe you're.
Well, you know what.
You have a warmer heart, so it keeps your body warm.
This is going to shock some people who watch or listen to these videos, but some people, personal safety is more important than freezing their butt off in the winter.
Exactly. So some strange comments that we got. I thought we set out from the established from the outset that we were talking about the most affordable LGBTQ plus friendly city in each state. I should say that when we did Wyoming, somebody said gay people don't live in Wyoming. And I thought, well, we're doing this city in every state. We can't just like exclude Wyoming because you don't think somebody lived there. But then somebody complained. I think this was from when we did the Memphis episode. They said, crime isn't factored into this. I was like, well, we're not doing it. We didn't add it. I mean, we can add all these different variables on top, like weather and crime and all these different, but then it just makes it fewer options.
Well, not only that, in order to do something like that, that kind of research really has to come from a funded research institute. And folks, we are not a funded research institute. We are two guys who put together the data on our own and are trying to share a little bit more information with the LGBT community so you can make better decisions.
Yeah.
Another comment was, you forgot about Los Angeles, California. Well, we didn't forget about it. And I think we've said this before. It is an LGBTQ friendly city in most places. There are spots in Los Angeles that are not LGBTQ friendly, but in general, Los Angeles is an LGBTQ friendly place, but it's also a really, really expensive place to live.
Really, really expensive. Yeah. I mean, there's no surprise to anybody. I mean, everybody's been watching the news, right? People are leaving California in droves, mostly in large part because of the costs. It's just something's got to happen there. Anyway, one of the great, I think this one still makes David and me chuckle. Somebody said, when you do New Mexico, Santa Fe better not be the winner.
That's exactly probably what was going on. We saw a little head shake and finger wagging when they said Santa Fe better not be the winner.
Well, it's not. It wasn't. It's a little bit too expensive to be the winner, but it wasn't the, I think it got third place. It's LGBT friendly, yes, but it's also expensive relative to other cities in New Mexico. So it didn't get the winner chicken dinner.
Another strange comment here is that this series seems to be predominantly focused on the experience comfort of white gay men, not necessarily the entire community. Well, I don't know how many of our videos this person watched, but they clearly didn't watch very many, because we did call out racial significance in some of the series that we did. At the beginning, we tried not to, because we wanted to just focus on this being affordability and LGBTQ plus friendliness. But I do think that there is a point to be made that racial privilege, as we talked about earlier, is an important thing that people need to factor in.
But I think that kind of the comment that we talked about earlier, there's just no utopia. I think, unfortunately, there's no place in the country that has optimal weather, low cost of living, and is 100% unabashedly supportive of LGBTQ plus people. That just doesn't exist. I don't know that place necessarily exists in, I can think of maybe a couple cities in the world that might fall into that category. But then you have to, move across the globe.
Yeah. And
not everybody has that option either.
And it's dynamic, right? It's always changing. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people would have said Florida is probably one of the most LGBTQ friendly states in the country. And now look at it, right? And so, and then you look at places like Arizona, and 10, 15 years ago, people would have said that state is not a friendly state for LGBTQ people. It's now one of the most LGBTQ friendly states when it comes to cities like Tucson and Phoenix. So it's all constantly changing. We are just pointing out what's happening right now.
Yeah. So stay tuned for your crew money takeaway. Financial independence with a checking and savings account that doesn't nickel and dime you with fees. Get a Capital One 360 checking or 360 performance savings account at Capital One today.
Thanks again, folks, for listening to another episode, or if you're watching another episode of the Queer Money Podcast. Again, we are going to take all of the data that we have acquired over the last year, and we're going to keep breaking it down to further help people like you narrow down regions in the country to consider as most affordable, LGBTQ friendly, with qualifiers such as great places for pets or singles or couples or even more. Lots more fun data coming your way, folks.
If you'd like to see the results from all the cities in each state that we're analyzing, please go to queermoneypodcast.com/cities or click the link in your podcast player if you're listening, or click the link right here if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you and have a great weekend.